When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is sponsored by One Welbeck.
Hi, Clubbers. We've written a book and we are so excited to finally be able to tell you about it. It's called Have You Tried This? And it will be released on February the 15th, 2024 by Welbeck Publishing.
It's the best of what we've learnt over 4 years of living and experimenting with everything the self-care and wellness world has to offer, all collated into one place, plus a load of new practices written just for the book. And the best thing?
Every single practice in the book costs you absolutely nothing, and every practice in there really will improve your mental health and well-being.
It's available right now on pre-order. Be the first to get your copy. Link is in our show notes.
Hello, welcome to the Self Care Club. I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
And this week's topic, we are talking about don't invite me, I don't want to go, and we're going to unpick all of that stuff that we don't want to do for 2024.
But before that, tell me how you are this week and what have you been doing for your self-care?
I am back to routine.
Okay, nice.
It's taken me like weeks.
Yeah.
I've had my injection in my back. Mm-hmm. It's starting to kick in. I'm back at the gym. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling much better. Mm-hmm. And I am taking my supplements.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'd also like to add in, you've had a little haircut.
Oh, yeah. I have had a haircut.
Turned up on Saturday night like a little sex pot at the restaurant, didn't you?
Well, I do try to be sexy for you.
You rocked in the leather jumpsuit and the new haircut. I was like, who is this sex bomb in the restaurant?
Yeah, I didn't get lucky though, did I?
Not with me. I can't speak for what happened when you went home.
What have you been doing for your own self-care?
I went to the physiotherapist and I had acupuncture and it was horrible. And now I've got blue tape all over my shoulder and I'm on exercises that have made me feel more middle-aged than anything's ever made me feel so far in my life. You know how like physiotherapy exercises are really tragic because you just put an elbow against the wall and then gently push it 20 times. And then put your wrist against the wall, push it 20 times. That's what I'm doing. And I just feel so sad. I can't do it in front of anyone because I feel so embarrassed.
And by the way, it really annoys me that they call it exercise because it isn't.
But do you know, although the movement is
it's a movement.
2 centimetres, it really hurts.
Yeah. Well, of course it does because you're trying to repair something that needs fixing.
Yeah. I've also declined a dinner invitation, which leads us beautifully into our topic for the week.
Okay.
Which is, don't invite me, I don't want to go.
I don't want to go. So there are many things we don't want to do in January 2024.
So today we're going to talk about how do we want to spend our time.
Yeah.
How to say no to the things we don't want to do.
Yeah.
Prioritising our time and energy with the people that we do want to be with. And how to place boundaries around all that shit.
Yeah. And when we need them.
Yeah.
And being aware of it rather than just jumping into everything unconsciously and saying, yeah, sure. And then it rolls around. You're like, oh my God, it's freezing cold out. I'm totally broke. And I really do not want to be going out for dinner with this person because I'm not overly interested in what they have to say.
So this show kind of began as a joke a while ago because Ollie said to me that I had become really unsociable. And I said to you, Ollie says that I'm becoming really unsociable. Do you think that I'm becoming unsociable? And then we just had this moment where we sort of both acknowledged that we spend so much time, you and I, with each other, that it kind of scratches the itch of therefore having to see other people. And so we don't do that as much. And is that a good or a bad thing? You know?
I mean, I think, well, we do see other people.
I mean, we do see
other friends, but you're right. I don't get to the end of the week thinking, shit, I really need to see my female girlfriend. I really need to see my girlfriends because I'm needing that girl time.
The outlet.
Because I have it every day with you.
Yeah.
And is that a healthy thing?
I think because we're in a healthy relationship, it's fine. But if we were in an unhealthy one, I think it could be really problematic. Or if we're a really bad influence on each other.
Oh, my God. But that would be problematic regardless.
Yeah, it would.
Wouldn't it?
It would. I'm also thinking about all those memes that are going around, especially in January, where it's two people dressed up for the evening and then one of them cancels and the other one pretends to be like really gutted that
when they're on the phone to them.
Yeah, they're already taking their eye makeup.
They're like
off.
Rushing to the bed. Yeah.
Getting some crisps and getting the remote control and they're actually delighted. And I think a lot of people relate to that feeling of like, oh my God, someone else has cancelled. The responsibility isn't on me to have cancelled, but I'm so happy not to go.
But you know, the thing is that I'm always someone that's happy to go out.
Yeah.
I'm happy to stay in. I'm happy to go out. I can't be in too much because I get very itchy feet. I get very, very restless. And it actually makes me feel quite like I've got this thing, like I'm wasting time.
Interesting.
Lying in bed to me is a waste of time. Mm. It is a total, like there is life to live. There are conversations to be had. There are things to do. Things to embrace. If I'm lying in bed, none of that's happening. My husband loves to lie in bed. He loves it. It's like a hobby. He gets so much pleasure and comfort and peace from lying in bed. Mm-hmm. To me, it's like, well, I'm not unwell, so I'm getting up now. Mm. You know?
Interesting. Yeah.
So I'm always happy to go out. But I said to you at the beginning of January, this year, I'm not going to be spending time with people I don't want to spend my time with. But that's been happening more and more anyway. That's not like a sudden thing. And I don't have loads of people in my life that I don't want to be with. I don't. Most, 99.9% of the people in my life are there because I actively choose them every day to be there. I'm just not doing it. And as I'm getting older, I'm getting more comfortable with having boundaries around all of that and saying no and not being agreeable and just basically doing what I want to do. As long as I'm not hurting somebody else or upsetting somebody else, fuck it. It's my fucking life. It's my life and I get to live it my way.
So let's talk a bit about this saying no to the things we don't want to do.
Yeah, let's do
when it. When someone asks you, not you, but you, the listener, for a favour or invites you to an event, do you find yourself immediately saying, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I'd really love to, before you've actually processed the request? And do you think that we have all internalised this message, especially as women, of being good, a good friend, a good partner, a good parent, a good human, and that means always having to say yes? And do you do that in your life?
Do I do that? No, I don't do that.
Okay.
I think there was a period of time where I did. Mm. But again, as I just said, I have carefully curated my community around me so that I don't do that anymore. So that I don't have things or people around me that I don't want to be with or don't want to spend time with. Mm. Right. Mm. But that takes time. Mm-hmm. And that's taken a lot of broken friendships and a lot of difficult conversations and a lot of heartbreak and all of it. Mm. And we write about this in the book, don't we? That we think that in order to be liked, we have to just agree. And that, I guess, is the myth that we need to unpick a little bit. So no, I don't think I do that, but I think I've learned how not to. Okay. What about you?
I find it very hard to refuse a favour.
A favour's different.
Yeah.
But this is about
I don't put in
social
the pause.
Obligation.
But like if it's being asked of me, I don't put in the pause. I don't think about, can I manage this? Can I take this on? I'll always be like,
But how often really does someone ask you a favour? Because people don't like to ask for help, do they? So it's very rare that someone will say, right, I need a hand. Can you do this for me?
Well, okay. For example, Josh's party is coming up in a few weeks and quite a few of the mothers clearly don't really want to drive to where the party is because it's like half an hour away. And so they've all gone, oh, actually, can I just drop them at your house? And can you just take them? And can you do that? And do you mind doing that? And you don't want to say, well, and eventually I was like, now I have no more room in the car. So I am sorry. I'm going to have to say
so
no.
So many people said it. Can't they just carpool?
Well, I think some of them are carpooling because I physically can't fit any more in. But I do find that hard. And I'm getting...
But also, you want his friends to be there
for
him.
Of course, of course.
So you don't want to say no for your kid.
Of course
but,
not.
But it does... Whether we want to admit it or not, it leaves a very minuscule residue of... Well, hold on a second. Why don't you just bring your kid to... Like, I take my kid to your kid's party and it's not a problem and, you know... There is a touch of that. There is.
I find it very hard to say no. If someone's like, would you just do me a favor? Can I ask you to do something for me? That I find hard to have a boundary around. But with events, I'm getting better at that. And I think with my friendships, they're very stable. They're very secure. So if I'm making arrangements within those, it's an intentional yes. But I still have a tendency to want to be like the rescuer and the helper in a lot of ways. And that's not always good for me.
So I do actually carry a lot of guilt around if someone wants to see me or someone asks to see me and I either don't want to see them, which is rare.
Yeah.
Or I don't have the physical time to see them.
Yes.
I don't know why I carry so much guilt around having to say no around. I do say no. Mm. But it doesn't sit well with me. Mm. So I have the boundary, but I do carry part of it, like we talked about, like the residue around.
Do you know why?
Do you know why? Are you asking
I'm
me?
Asking you.
Oh, do I know why? There's something about someone else's needs always need to be more important.
Okay.
And again, coming back to being the rescuer. And I have played that role in some relationships in my life, and I'm comfortable in that role, and that's fine. And I also have something with being a good friend. Like, I really value being a really good, loyal, reliable friend. That's really important to me. But that doesn't, and I guess that translates as always having to be available. But that's not, I know that's not right logically.
Yes.
But the two, I think, get a bit messed up in terms of how I then perceive it and carry it with me. Does that make sense?
Total sense. So if you are a person out there who finds the same sorts of things hard, I think it's important to note that saying no does not have to be confrontational. There is a way of declining things with grace and with politeness, and to always remember that you are declining the invitation, you are not declining the person.
Which is a really important highlighter.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
And I'm pausing because I'm thinking about what you just said, that you find it very hard to turn down a favour.
Yes.
So I think I find it very hard if someone is in need.
Yeah.
I find it very hard to not overextend myself.
It's a similar thing, right?
It is similar.
Yeah.
But I guess it hasn't been asked of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I know someone's having a really awful day.
Yes.
My first reaction is to either want to go around there.
Yes.
And give them a hug, make them some food.
Yes.
Do something.
Yes.
That will help ease their stress, pain, yes. difficulty.
Yeah.
And I find that really, really difficult. And as I've gotten older, especially in the last year or so, I'm learning that I can't overextend everywhere because I don't have the energy. I don't have the time. And it takes away from things like my kids.
Yeah.
My home.
Yeah.
The things that my well-being.
Yeah.
Things that are really, really vitally important.
Yeah.
So, but it's balancing those two things I get quite stressed by sometimes.
So we're talking about boundaries here, really.
Well, we are talking about boundaries, and we're talking about the things that we value.
Yeah.
So whilst I will value my peace and my well-being, I also value being a reliable, trusted friend.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means showing up and doing things that you might not have time to do.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's knowing when to pick either one.
Yeah.
Because you can do it, and I could be that trusted, reliable friend and turn up on the doorstep with a shepherd's pie in my hand, but what is it at the cost of?
Yes.
It might be at the cost of my kids not having a homemade meal.
Yes.
Or it might be at the cost of not being able to take one of them to netball, or me being totally exhausted. But which one do you prioritise? Because that person that's opening the door that needs that shepherd's pie needs that shepherd's pie.
Yeah. So we've done a whole show on boundaries, and I think anyone who hasn't listened to that, it's worth going back and listening to them. There is also a whole chapter in the book about them, because I think they're pretty much fundamental to everything surrounding self-care, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a big, fat, flashing neon, yes.
Your boundaries are going to help you create the life that you want. And they are going to teach you how to carve out the best way to use your time and energy. And they are there to improve things.
Right. But can I just I just want to say something here, right? Repeat that sentence, but put yourself in there.
Boundaries create the life I want for myself. They help me carve out how to use my time and my energy, and they are there to improve my experience and my life.
It's different, right?
Yeah.
It sits different when you kind of own it.
Yeah.
For yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's hard, but very, very, very necessary.
Yeah. How are your boundaries now? Age nearly 40 something.
Seven.
In a few weeks.
47. How are my boundaries now? My boundaries are... I think my boundaries are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's relative, isn't it? Like, what are we comparing it to?
Yeah.
Am I comparing it to who I was 5 years ago? Am I comparing it to someone who doesn't have any boundaries? Like,
you can only compare it to yourself, I think.
Look, they could always be better.
Okay.
They could always be better. But then something happened, like on Saturday night, for example, we were going out, the four of us.
Yeah.
And I wasn't privy to the conversation because I wasn't on the WhatsApp group at the time. I wasn't on the WhatsApp group at the time when all the messages were going about where we were going
to
go.
47 messages just to decide where
49.
We were going. 49 in the end.
And I did read them through because they were quite funny.
I did like lose the will to live by the end of it.
And then you'd all booked a restaurant that was an hour away.
Yeah.
And I just did not want to sit in the car for an hour when we all live 5 minutes away from each other.
Yes.
To me, and I didn't love that restaurant last time we went. If I loved it, different. I didn't. And we had to pick Daisy up from a friend. It was just too difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we then basically said, do we have to go here? Could we go somewhere else? Now, I don't think I would have said that a while back.
Really?
No, I don't think so. I did feel a bit uncomfortable because I knew there'd been loads of conversation and loads of restaurants discussed and everyone was trying to find somewhere. So it did feel a bit uncomfortable to say, actually, I don't want to go here because I don't want to sit in the car for an hour, because it meant that I was putting someone else out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
So I was quite proud of myself, but it was uncomfortable.
But actually, we were all much happier only having to drive 25 minutes in the end. So
it just didn't make sense.
No
to
sense.
Me.
No sense whatsoever.
But what I'm saying is, so I must have been better, because I think 2 years ago I would have just sucked it up.
Yeah.
How are your boundaries?
Better than they were and firmer than they were. But I am wondering if my boundaries improving are working in a direct parallel to how much I don't seek or need approval anymore. And I'm wondering, as one lowers, the other rises. That's what I was really thinking about, like when we were talking about this
show. So what's lowering and what's rising?
I think my need for approval, or my seeking for approval, is lowering.
Yeah.
And as that happens, my boundaries are going up.
Isn't that amazing though?
Yeah.
So when you're creating space, you can fill it with something so intentional and positive.
It's very interesting. And I'm also finding, as I'm about to hit 46, I'm much less tolerant as I'm getting older. So all the things that I would automatically have just said yes to or put up with, I don't want to do that anymore. And that's very clear. And I don't feel it's fair that I should have to do that anymore. Which is interesting, because when I was much younger, like teens and 20s, I was so outspoken and such a loudmouth and so uncompromising. And then something happened where I became very malleable and compromising and a yes person to everything, and now I'm kind of coming out of that again. So I don't know what happened in the middle.
What do you mean coming out of that again? Oh, you used to be like that when you were younger?
Yeah.
That's really funny, because then you kind of unlearn something and then you have to learn it again.
I mean, when I was in my early, like late teens and early 20s, everyone would say, oh, she's like Marmite, like you will meet her and you will either hate her or you will love her, but she is utterly uncompromising. And that is how I was.
Isn't that interesting? So to be, okay, not utterly uncompromising, but to be boundaried, you have to worry, or you have to be aware, not worry, that people are going to take unkindly to it.
But I didn't care. I couldn't have cared less. And then something happened in my 30s. Maybe it was having babies. I don't know. I just mellowed and I just became very much more amenable. And now I'm feeling slightly less amenable than I used to be, which I think is good, better for me.
It's a really good thing. And actually, there's a beautiful example of this where both of our boundaries, I think, were really solidly in place. So I'm talking about when you sent the email the other day.
Yes.
So we were in an email chain with someone, and it wasn't really, we weren't very happy with the direction that it was going in, right? And so Lauren and I were having a private conversation away from the email chain. And I said, this is what needs to happen. Let's draft an email tomorrow morning. And then you said, dude, it's already done. I've sent it. So I went back to read the email and everything in the email was absolutely great. But it's not normally how we work. We normally draft things together. Yes. We agree on things together. Yes. And then it gets sent.
Yes.
But you were triggered and you sent it.
So I snapped, basically.
Yeah. So I felt, in unison, I felt aggravated that you hadn't checked with me first.
Yep.
And I felt equally proud of you that you'd done it, that you'd spoken up for yourself, that you'd basically put your boundaries down saying, actually, no, this is not okay by me and I need answers now.
Yeah.
And I told you that, didn't I? And I texted you back instantly to say, you know what? It wasn't cool that you just sent that email because I had things I wanted to ask. And if the roles were reversed, you'd be really annoyed.
Yeah, which is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you wrote back saying, you know what? I'm really sorry and you are right. And I should have checked with you, but I snapped. Yeah. And I said, and I'm really proud of you.
Yeah.
So there was so much boundary work going on in all of it.
Yeah.
You were putting your boundaries down with the other person on the email. I was putting my boundary down with you because that wasn't okay by me.
Yeah.
And you were absolutely standing in the things that weren't okay for you. And you absolutely spoke it. And I loved it.
Thanks. Yeah.
I just thought the whole thing, it was a very interesting moment.
It was an interesting moment for me because it's quite unlike me, actually, in all respects.
Well, we're learning that actually it doesn't get us anywhere to sort of roll over and say, okay, well, let's just wait and see what happens. It's not overly conducive, especially at the moment, because time was of the essence.
Yeah. I think I'm just at this point where I just don't want to do the things that I don't want to do anymore. You know, I'm just there.
Me too.
It's really interesting.
And also, do you think that writing, and we've joked about this before, but do you think writing the book, and actually we wrote a whole chapter on boundaries and put the practices in place and did the research and figured out what works and what doesn't, and we've had to read this book
so many times
to edit it.
Yeah.
I think that message is so clear cut now.
Maybe. I mean, a few things have happened recently. So we were supposed to go out for dinner tomorrow night, 8 of us. Complicated because everyone needs a babysitter and some people don't live in this country. So, you know, to move the date is impossible. And then it turned out I didn't have a babysitter at the last minute. So I was like, okay, the only way of doing this is to have it at my house because I can't rearrange and I can't go out. So I'm now hosting. But I sent a really clear message and I said, I'm hosting and I'm going to ask all of you to make a couple of things because I'm just not into martyring myself this year. I just thought, I can't do this. I can't work all day and then make this perfect 3-course dinner for 8 people. I don't have the bandwidth and also I don't want to. And nobody minded. Nobody was like, oh my God, how dare you ask me to make a dessert or make a salad? Everyone was like, yeah, cool. That's fine.
Yeah, of course they are.
Of course they are. But I just thought I'm actually perfectly comfortable with this. I'm perfectly comfortable. I don't feel guilty. I don't feel bad. I don't feel like I should, in inverted commas.
But the most important thing is that is new for you.
Yeah, that's really new for me.
It's
that's
the second really time you've new. Done it. You have done that before.
Yeah.
When you were doing the tea, remember? And yes. You asked people to come to bring something. And it's totally acceptable for everybody
To muck in. Yeah.
And contribute physically to the meal.
And I feel fine about it. And I also got an invitation for a lunch for somebody else that happens to be on my birthday. And you know what? I could have gone because I really don't need to celebrate my birthday all day because I'm not five. But I just thought,
you know what?
I'm not massively into birthdays, but I also thought, you know what? It is my birthday and I may want to do something and I don't really want to be obliged to have to go to this lunch for somebody else on my birthday. So I just said, I'm really sorry, it's my birthday that day and I think I'm going to have plans, so I have to decline. And I also felt fine about that. And I'm not declining the person, I'm declining the invitation. And there is a difference.
There is a difference.
Yeah.
And again, do you think if that was last year, you would have said yes to that invitation?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I would have
done. Oh, really?
Yeah. And just sucked it up and then been like, oh, I've got to spend my birthday doing this.
So in all honesty,
yeah,
what do you think has shifted for you that you're able to now put these boundaries in place? Because that's where the juice is, isn't it? And that's the part where we want the listener to go away and take this for themselves as a gift.
This episode is brought to you by One Welbeck Women's Health, a leading private clinic in central London.
Bringing together gynecologists, obstetricians and breast specialists, it's truly a one-stop shop for female health.
Services range from breast screening to pelvic floor treatment and everything in between, all carried out in a calm and relaxed setting that has been specifically designed to put women at ease every step of the way.
I had a routine mammogram there recently and I couldn't have felt better taken care of. It was a truly positive experience.
One Welbeck Women's Health has also launched a comprehensive menopause service, taking a multidisciplinary approach to managing menopausal symptoms through a combination of personalised medical treatments and lifestyle advice.
Putting your health first is true self-care. To find out more about this brilliant clinic, visit onewelbeck.com/women's-health or simply search One Welbeck Women's Health.
This week, we are sponsored by Notion.
Why do we love Notion? Because it brings our ideas to life. It's like having access to tomorrow's tools today by combining all our research scripts and notes into one simple space with the added power of AI built right inside, not a separate AI tool or browser tab.
I used it the other day to plan all our social content for the next 3 months. It's made what's usually a really long, daunting task super quick, simple and streamlined, leaving us with more time and energy to focus on what truly matters, which is bringing self-care to the listeners and less stress for us.
Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organise and rediscover the joy of play. And the Notion AI turns that knowledge into action. It can answer any question in seconds, summarise your meeting notes and keeps you completely organised. If you can think it, you can make it. It's become an integral part of our podcasting toolkit and we're calling it self-care.
Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/self-care club.
That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/self-care club, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show.
notion.com/self-care club.
Age? Time?
No, age isn't. No.
Age as in I am older.
I know you're older, but I think that's a bit of a... I don't think that's the answer. I would like to think that there are tools that you have learned. That's what I'm fishing for.
I'll swap the word age for the word confidence.
That makes a big difference.
Okay, so what I mean is, for me, I feel as I have aged, I have grown in confidence. So when I say age, I mean time, experience, confidence, standing in who I am as a person. It's helpful to be older.
But someone listening to this.
Yeah.
Who's 30.
Yeah.
And wants to start creating boundaries for themselves, which we will get on in the next section about what self-care you need in order to do this.
Yeah.
That answer isn't, they can't take that away.
Okay. So learning that sucking everything up and saying yes to everything actually doesn't make me happy, doesn't serve me. Isn't good for other people because then they're not really understanding your true self. They're dealing with somebody who's just
disingenuous.
It's disingenuous and you are just this sort of agreeable doormat.
Which is so not who you are.
No, and doesn't serve me and also doesn't serve them. Mm. Right?
Totally. You see?
That.
Okay.
That juicy enough for you.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I love it. I love that.
Let's talk a bit about the people in our lives. Because when we're talking about don't invite me, I don't want to go. When we're saying no, what we're actually doing is saying yes to things we do want to do, right?
Yeah.
With the people that we like.
Yeah. So, but that's the most important part. And we talk about this a lot in the book. Sorry to keep mentioning the book, but we have done a whole chapter on this. So you're making space for the things that you want, not clogging it up with the things that you don't want. So I think what we can naturally do as human beings when we're saying no is get very caught up in, what are they going to think? What will they say? How will they react? We get caught up in that little narrative, and that keeps us very small and very stuck, because then we start behaving in a way that we think the other person wants us to.
Yeah.
Not in the way that we want. Rather than saying, well, if I say no to this, actually, I'm creating more time for that.
Yes.
And there's a lot of juice in that. There's a lot of possibility in that. There's a lot of growth in that. I get to. So, for example, let's say you're saying no to one person because you want to go out with someone else for the evening, just to simplify. You're saying no, rather than getting caught up in the person that you're saying no to and worrying about what they think, what they're going to do and how they're going to perceive it. Actually, if you focus on the person that you're going to go out with and the lovely time that you're going to have and the conversation that you're going to have and the connection that you're going to create and all of that gorgeousness that's in that yes is going to bring so much more fulfillment.
So Jim Rohn says, you are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with.
Mm.
These five people shape who we are. And all the research that's been done says that as much as 95% of your success or failure in life depends on the people who you habitually associate with.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Are we spending time with good people? And how do we know that?
Because oh.
I found that since COVID, my friendship group has got smaller, which I think is what prompted Ollie to say to me, you've become very unsociable. Because I think what happened is all the people who were on the periphery, who were not like inside the, what do you want to call it?
Your inner circle?
My inner, thank you, that's the word. They've kind of completely gone, and COVID cemented it. Because, you know, you couldn't see anyone, and then it was, there were only a few people who you could see, and you could only see them outside. And I realized when I didn't see these people for such a long time, I actually didn't miss seeing them.
No.
At
that,
all.
That was astounding to me.
And it was also not just that I didn't miss it, but clearly from their point of view, they weren't reaching out to be like, please come for a walk with me. So when no effort was made on either side, you realise, oh, you're on my periphery. And it's not that I don't care about those people, because I do. My feeling about them as people hasn't changed. But I feel like I have so little spare time to spend time with people that I don't want to. And I don't have this energy and these hours coming out of nowhere to expand.
But also, don't you think it's because your time is now filled with the people that you want to spend time with? So
yes.
The time that you're spending feels richer.
Yes, it does. But also these years that we're in now, I feel like they're the grafting years. Like we've still got kids that need our
yes,
time and attention.
Absolutely.
We have work, we have family commitments. We have limited bandwidth, and I don't want to spread it so thin anymore. I just don't.
I don't either. Mm. And I remember saying in COVID to Adam, you know, when we come out of this, I don't want to do those endless Saturday nights across the table from people that we have nothing in common with.
No.
I'd rather sit on the couch, watch a film with you, and just really enjoy ourselves. Like, I'm just not doing it.
I mean, also, as a side note, it's not cheap to go out for dinner in London anymore. So, like, do you really want to go out and spend all this
really,
money? Do you know what I mean?
It really isn't cheap. My sister and I did this exercise on holiday where we wrote down our highs and lows of 2023 and then what we were going to bring in to 2024.
Uh-huh.
And two of the things that really stuck out to me, my highs of 2023, were two people that were in my life but were more periphery.
Mm-hmm.
But actually in 2023, I got much closer to.
Right.
And they were the things that I was bringing into 2024, my closer relationships with these two people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, how interesting that they're the main things that have stuck with me, that actually I allowed time for people that have always been in a very background role in my life and actually just created some space. And they're becoming really lovely people in my life.
That's nice.
And it's really nice.
Mm.
And it's really important.
Mm. So how do we know when we're investing in the right relationships,
yes.
right?
Yes.
We yes. actually, we wrote a quiz.
We did. This is in the book.
It is in the book.
So we wanted to bring it here today because we really want you to do it as a checklist.
Yeah.
And if you buy the book, obviously you'll then always have this checklist with you. And we think it's really healthy and really helpful. And actually, since we wrote it, it is something, I swear to God, it's something that I have referred back to a few times about things that, you know, certain people that I'm not sure about. Or so I've gone through the checklist and it makes it very clear.
Let's go through it.
So have someone in your mind who you might be struggling with or someone that you really adore. Either way, just pick one person and then you go through this checklist. Okay.
So these are the signs of a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
You feel uplifted after being with them. You have mutual love.
Should I do it for you?
For me?
Should I do the checklist? Go on, carry on.
You respect one another. You trust one another. You can be your most authentic self. You can both be vulnerable. You can be honest with one another. You laugh together. You look forward to being with them. You feel peaceful and calm in the relationship.
That's a big one.
You feel that it's an equal and reciprocal relationship. You encourage and admire each other.
Now, that's not to say you have to tick every single solitary one.
No.
But most.
But most.
But most. And you get the energy of where we're trying to take you. And the signs of an unhealthy relationship. You feel exhausted or drained when you leave their company. You don't want to see or speak to them. You feel guilty when you haven't seen them. They often give you a hard time. You feel a sense of duty to keep investing in the relationship. You feel obligated to see or speak to them. It's heavily one-sided. They only call you when they need you. There is no space for your needs. You don't feel respected. You cannot trust them. You cannot authentically be yourself around them. Their opinions, attitudes, or behaviours make you feel uncomfortable. Again, don't have to tick every single one, but just run through as a checklist and you'll get an idea of whether you are in a healthy relationship or an unhealthy relationship.
And it is up to all of us as individuals to consciously construct our relationships and to decide which opinions, which attitudes, which life philosophies we do and do not allow to be a part of our life. We're in charge of our own boundaries. We're in charge of our own friendships. You don't have to put up and tolerate people and things you're invited to go to if you don't want to. You can say no.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
So now we come on to the last section, which is about what self-care could you incorporate in your life that might help with all of this?
Yeah.
We're not going to leave you high and dry. We're not going to point out a problem in your life and then just say, okay, that's the end of the show. We're actually going to give you some steps and tips.
Okay, number one, it sounds simple. It's harder than it sounds, but I'm learning it. Learn to delegate. You do not have to take everything onto your own shoulders.
Yeah, like you did this week with the dinner party.
Yeah. Learn to delegate.
Learn to delegate. Get good at learning to say no. Obviously, that is not overly helpful because everyone wants to be good at learning to say no. So we're going to help you with how to say no.
We've also done a whole show on it. So you can go back and listen to that episode.
It was an early show.
Yeah, it was.
It was an early show. So step one, as we mentioned earlier, focus on your yes. When you say no to something, you are really saying yes to something else. And as we discussed earlier, focus on what the yes will bring, and that will ease, hopefully, the discomfort of the no.
Yeah. So here's an example. Let's say that you've got a really early yoga class booked and your friend wants you to go out clubbing on the Saturday night. So you can say no to the clubbing because what you're actually saying is yes to getting up early for the yoga class, because that's where your intention is and that's what you want to do and that's where you need to be.
Yeah. Your focus is on the yoga, not on the saying no and upsetting the person.
Yeah.
Step two, it is okay to put your own needs first. Please give yourself permission to prioritize yourself and remind yourself that your needs are just as important as someone else.
Yes.
Your needs are just as important as someone else's.
Yes.
So I have a little example for this.
Yeah.
I got my hair cut this week. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been going to the same guy. He's a very old friend. I've been going to the same guy for years who's cut my hair. And the last few times he's cut my hair, I haven't loved it.
Mm.
And I haven't been massively clear on what I wanted and whatever, but I really haven't loved it. Mm. And I really didn't like what he did last time. And I wanted another old friend of mine to cut my hair. But then I thought, no, I can't do that because I've been going to the other guy for so many years. So I'm already like stuck in the what will he think and what will he do. And then I had a word with myself, Lauren. Mm-hmm. And I thought, it's my hair. And I don't have to explain myself to anybody else about who cuts it, how it looks, and where I go, because I am an adult.
This is true.
So you know what I did? I booked an appointment with my other friend. Yeah. And he said to me, what about such and such? Isn't he going to get upset? And I said, do you know what? Maybe, but it's not really my responsibility how he feels about where I get my hair cut.
No, because your boundaries are between you and you. That's why.
I still feel a little bit uncomfortable, I'll be honest, but I still got the haircut.
Good. Step three, tell the truth. Lying only leads to guilt and anxiety, and this is exactly what you're trying to avoid. So just say no from a place of truth and love. Like, it's perfectly fine for me to say the day of that lunch is actually on my birthday.
Yes,
that's the truth.
Yes.
And I actually am doing something else. Yeah.
And that's it. You don't have to explain yourself. As Lauren beautifully pointed out before, step four is saying no to the request, not the person.
Yeah.
So, you know, kindness and respect, they go a long way.
They do.
No, thank you. I'm not going to come to the lunch, but thank you for the invite.
That's exactly what I said. I was like, thank you so much for including me. It's so nice.
That's because
but I can't
come.
Written a book on it.
It's true. So you know
it's
how to
true.
Do it.
It's true.
And step five is just be appreciative. It's not an insult when people ask you to go to something or make requests of you. Just thank them for thinking of you or reaching out the invite and then politely decline. You are allowed to say no.
Yes. Couple of other little tips for you. Communicate effectively if you can. People aren't psychic. They don't know what's going on in your head. And if you don't share it, they can't be expected to know what's too much for you, what isn't too much for you, all the rest of it. So just communicate that shit.
And also keep in your mind that they get to learn about you on a deeper, more connected level. It's a gift, actually, just to be honest.
Absolutely. And a great example of that is this week when I sent the email and you immediately texted me to say how you felt about that. Yes. And that was great, because otherwise what? You would have been like sucking that up and feeling a bit resentful, and it's much better that we just had the conversation and then it's done. So communicate effectively. And we did.
And I will say, to add on to that, we are in a very open, trusted relationship. So it's easier for me to do that.
Okay, but you still did it,
but
and that's good.
You know what we're in? We're in a healthy relationship, right? If you go back to that checklist, so it's easier for me to say that. So if you're doing it with someone and you're in the second section of an unhealthy relationship, it is going to be harder. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying, just be prepared that it might not be as clear cut as how you and I approached it with one another.
It also might not be as clear cut to resolve, because there would be an underlying of, may they have done that to upset me, or what did they do that on purpose? Yeah. Do I want to forgive them? Is this a pattern with them? You know, it's more
complicated.
Right?
Yeah. That's why I'm saying it's, you know, it's easier to do it when you're in a very healthy relationship.
Yeah. Learn from your own experience. Like, really, if you've overcommitted to something before, or you were in a situation and you didn't have any boundaries and you didn't say no, and that made you feel shitty or exhausted or whatever it made you feel, use that experience to inform you.
That's a really,
for next time.
Really, really good point.
Yeah.
Use it. Use it as information. I love it. And you get to learn from that. Prioritizing time and energy.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about, right? So, what matters to you most? What matters to you most? Not what matters to the other person. What matters to you?
Mm.
And then you can prioritize yourself and the things that you want. It doesn't make you selfish. It makes you human. Mm-hmm. And it makes you a healthy human to prioritize it, actually. I listened to an amazing podcast the other day. I wish I could remember what it was on. I think it was on Dr. Chatterjee, and someone was talking about being an essentialist.
Okay.
And I just loved the phrase of it. And it basically means prioritizing what you need to within that hour, that day, that month.
Yes.
So let's say you wake up and you say, okay, and I've been doing this in the mornings because sometimes I can get a bit overwhelmed with all the things that I need to do. And I think, okay, is it essential that I fold the washing right now? Or is it essential that I eat before I go to work? It's essential that I eat before I go to work, right? So you prioritize the things that are most essential, which emails that you need to send that day, what tasks you need to tick off the list that day, what is essential to you. So prioritize what matters to you most.
But to add on to that, all of these things might need reassessing and adjusting, because priorities change. Life circumstances are going to change. So it is a really good idea to regularly reassess what are my goals, what are my boundaries, what commitments have I got right now? Because we're never the same person, right? We're always changing. So what we need and what we're prioritizing and what we are able to say yes and no to is going to change all the time.
Even in that moment. Absolutely. So you have to constantly, we say this all the time, don't we? Check in. Just keep checking in with yourself. What do I need right now? Yeah. What is most important to me right now?
Yeah.
And that will be, you know, a month ago, it would have been a very different training session to what I need right now. It's completely different because my body needs something different.
Yeah. And try and plan. So what? Have a look at the month ahead. What's going on for you? Is it very heavy with work? Is it very heavy with family commitments? Where are you in your menstrual cycle? Try and plan as much as you can in advance so that you feel more balanced. So I said to you the other day, I always try, if I can, to do my most creative stuff and my most social stuff when I'm in the middle of my cycle, because I know that in the few days leading up to my period and during my period,
you are a bit grumpy.
I'm a bit grumpy, and I don't, and I'm much more inward, and that is
I
go into myself, and that's very normal. You know, Maisie Hill, who's written Period Power, talks about it in terms of seasons. So she would say when she's ovulating, she's in the summer months, and when she's premenstrual, she's in the autumn, and when she's having her period, she's in the winter. And that is a time when you naturally want to be at home, be alone, be more alone. So if you can, if it's possible, try to just, you know, plot out your month by month. I think it's a good idea.
I think that's a really, really great piece of advice. It's not something I would ever do.
I've always done it.
But I think it's probably incredibly useful. Just spend time with the right people. You know, I think that's what it all boils down to. Spend time with the right people. Prioritize the things that you want for yourself. Know that your needs matter the most. Because if your needs are not being met, you are going to exhaust yourself, burn yourself out, and then you are no use to anybody. Most of all, yourself.
And I think really and truly, you know, when you're spending time with the wrong people, because you come away feeling
flat,
either flat or tired. Less than
tired.
Yeah. Or drained.
Less than. That is the worst. That is the worst.
So you have to have a think about, well, why am I hanging out with these people? Why am I spending my precious time in this one and only life that I'm getting with these people who, when I come home, I feel upset, drained, negative about myself, negative about the evening. Don't do that. Focus on the quality rather than the quantity.
And by the way, this is your reminder that you don't have to do that.
No, you don't.
You get to choose who you spend your time with. Even when it feels like you have no choice, I promise you, you do.
There's always a choice.
There's always a choice. So that is our show this week. We hope it brought you some insight into it. If you would like to be in touch, you can email us hello@selfcareclub.co.uk. We're going to be back on Friday with our weekly wellness roundup show.
There's still so much going on because it's still January.
It's still January.
Just packed full to the brim of stuff.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So lovely. We love it. And if you want to follow us on our socials, just scroll down. All our links are there. You want to buy a book, pre-order it, please. We really want those. And we will be back on Friday.
Bye-bye.